Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pep Talk, Pepperdine University's podcast dedicated to sparking conversations of personal and global significance, featuring world-renowned professors, faculty, and students from across the university. In this Pep Talk series, we will be discussing relationships. Whether you are single or married, a parent or a grandparent, a professional or an executive, relationships are an essential part of our lives. Join us as we explore how to build relationships and navigate their challenges in today's world. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Pep Talk podcast. My name is Alexa. Today, we are going to discuss the holidays. The holidays are meant to bring joy, connection, and celebration, but for many of us, they can also bring stress, strained relationships, and old family dynamics that resurface at the dinner table. In this episode, presented by Pepperdine and the Boone Center for the Family, we're joined with Kelly Hare and Dr. Henry Cloud, an acclaimed clinical psychologist, leadership expert, and New York Times best-selling author of Boundaries, a book that's helped millions of people build healthier relationships and stronger lives. With decades of experience coaching leaders and families alike, Dr. Cloud brings worthwhile wisdom on how to manage expectations, honor family, and find peace amid the pressure of the holiday season. Dr. Cloud, welcome to the Pep Talk.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Awesome. Let's get started.
All right. Thanks, Alexa. Good to be here with you again. And Dr. Cloud, great to have you with us today. I'm excited for this conversation and thinking about the holidays and family relationships. To start, curious your thoughts. Why do you think family relationships can be especially difficult during the holidays? And do you feel like this has changed over time?
Well, I think they can be difficult because they get together. Things are fine until we get together. There's so many, you know, different reasons, different dynamics in different families. But the holidays, it's its own special kind of recipe because there is forced togetherness, if you will.
I will, yes. Yeah. I understand what that means, yes.
I thought you meant you will be doing that. what I mean is there are a lot of times, you know, in the difficult relationships, it's a little easier to maybe carve out your space and not get engaged and get pulled in, get triggered and all those things by certain, you know, conflicts that still stand or old wounds that still stand or not knowing your new roles as they've changed. And all of a sudden, you're thrown onto the playing field, and you're sort of in this cage together. and part of it is that it's a proximity that you haven't really worked out the rules a lot of times for, and stuff happens. So that's part of it. I think, you know, different roles, different expectations, unresolved conflicts, and all of that. But on the other hand, it can be the richest time ever. Mm-hmm. So it's not all bad. It can be great.
Okay. That's a very interesting image, as if people find themselves in a cage with family where they haven't worked out the rules. They haven't worked out, this is how we're going to do relationship with each other. And maybe some people have come up with their own rules, and the other people don't like the rules that they've come up with.
Well, that's a really good phrase, their own, because we all operate according to our rules. You know, rules are the way things are supposed to run, and everybody has those in their heads. You know, it's a map. We have mental maps of each other, mental maps of relationships, and we have patterns that we've experienced, and so you're coming into this and, you might not be aware of each other's internal rules.
That makes sense. Okay.
And especially, you know, we're here at a university, and that period of time is a period of time where the rules really are changing and should change. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people haven't adjusted their expectations and behavior and roles to the rules that should have changed or should be changing.
Yes, that makes sense.
Is this my kid or is this an adult who's sitting at the dinner table? Mm-hmm.
which is that's something we talk about in the Relationship IQ program, is helping students grapple with the transition from being a child with their parents to being an adult in relationship with the people who are their parents. And that can be a challenging season.
Well, there's a really interesting verse in Galatians. It says that when we were children, we were under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. So, you know, then you have all of a sudden you're an adult. There's a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah or, you know, whatever anybody's rite of passage is. And now you're one of these adults. But a lot of times that change of not being the guardian and the manager hasn't really been worked out. And so you get a 18, 20, 22, sometimes even, you know, further than that. And they show up and parents are still trying to guard them or manage them, you know, trying to guard and protect them from don't do this and don't do that and manage them, kind of, you know, control and run their lives. And those rules really must change if you're going to have healthy relationships.
So thinking about the fact that we're in 2025 now, do you feel like challenges that families face over the holidays has changed in the last 20 years?
Probably the contexts have changed. There's certainly more opportunity for fuel to incite things to bring into it. You know, you used to kind of not know where somebody was until they showed up or, you know, you talked to, and well, now you know instantly every day if you're monitoring their
right.
social.
Right.
And also there maybe there are texts that haven't been responded to that, you know, you have all of that stuff. So I think the context have changed, but I think family relationships have been pretty tough since Cain and Abel, I think.
Yeah, that is interesting to consider as people watch each other's lives on social media and then show up at, say, an annual gathering. When somebody enters into that moment, they're aware of all these pictures, videos, images that they've seen of this person that has impacted their perception.
Yeah.
Their could be functioning as a filter through which they're seeing this person. And that could change the dynamic than just being face-to-face, present. You haven't seen each other for a year and you know nothing.
Yeah, you're walking into a room where somebody's already upset with you.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, potentially.
Right, right. Okay.
We went negative fast here.
I know. I'm realizing that. Like, fancy relationships can be such a blessing and a great, great experience.
Well, you brought in the shrink, not the turkey salesman.
So, right.
You know, we are kind of doing that.
Pumpkin pie. Okay. So something, Henry, that I really appreciate about your work is I feel like you're an incredibly clear thinker and use categories and images in which to understand the messiness of life. And so I asked this question kind of with that idea in mind and saying, what are some types, categories, ways in which family relationships can be difficult? And how does maybe the type of difficulty impact the best way forward? I don't know if you have categories for this. You can tell me this is a bad question.
Give me the question again.
Okay. What are some types or categories?
I got you.
And ways in which families can be difficult, if we're going to put difficulties in categories and understand them as a way of thinking about the best way forward.
One category, for sure, is the intergenerational category. Because holidays tend to get generations together, at least parents and adult kids. And then you may still have, you know, kids at home as well. And then there's the grandparents. And so that's really fun because some of the adults that have kids now in G3 they kind of hadn't quite worked out everything with G1. And so that's a category. Another category, a big category, is in-laws. You know, sometimes extended families like that get together, and that can be really interesting, especially if good leaving and cleaving hasn't happened and the, you know, government hadn't been overthrown yet. We don't know which household is actually running this household or whose traditions. What are they? We don't have that at our, well, you know, this is a different, and you get into all that stuff. And then one of the things that happens a lot that people don't talk about that much is that within a family system, you'll also have sometimes siblings that have shown up in life very differently. You got a superstar, and then you might have the other one, you know, and that can, those dynamics, I've seen it everywhere from, you know, the one that's got the troubles or the problems or struggling or isn't meeting expectations and all of that, the sibling sometimes gets a little bit in between, and they almost have to rescue them or protect them from, you know, and then they don't even like their role sometimes of because they're resented. Then you have sibling rivalries, and then there's a lot. The sibling thing can resurface, and then also the sibling thing in the adult generation, you know, uncles and aunts are siblings with right. somebody in the right. house, and you got that. So it's just a great time, isn't it? Just a lot of good.
Yes.
But seriously, it should be great, yeah. and it can be.
Okay. So what are some ways, then, to make intergenerational strains or difficulties great or better? Or how can we navigate difficulties that might come up through the generations, whether it's, say, grandparents thinking parenting of their grandkids should happen differently?
Oh, there's a good one. There's a good one. That is a great one, because how many times do you run into the grandparents thinking that what the parents are doing with that, you know, however year old is not the right thing, and they're going to step in and start to resume the parenting role. But when you get to how to make those things better, I think it's really important to figure out where you are before the holidays. Mm-hmm. You know, you should sit down and say, so given where everything is, you know, what can I expect? And get your feet firmly grounded in reality. If you know that Uncle Joe might have a few too many and get to be that version of Uncle Joe, and last Christmas that didn't go so well, well, you've got to get ahead of that. And you might have to have some conversations or, you know, however you're going to handle that. Mm-hmm. Or if there are other, you know, smoldering fires, don't let those surprise you. Get a plan. Mm-hmm. And some of those plans can, you know, in some situations have to be pretty specific. Like I've had families where I'm treating an adult, for example, and there's going to be a grandfather there or an uncle there where something really bad went on. And they are still not quite through everything that they've got to work through. And, you know, an overused term today when it's not the right term, but there is a real term being triggered, that old pain can get triggered. Mm-hmm. And so how are they going to handle that? And maybe they need a wingman, you know, or somebody that's going to start criticizing what they're doing, you know, their career choice or this, that, and the other. And they don't want to get into that. And so they decide, you know, my sister or my cousin or whoever, you're my wingman. And when that happens, you see him corner me, come over and get me and say, I need some help with the dressing or the pie or something. All the way down to, with difficult ones, you may have to practice a script so you don't get hooked in the moment and know what you're going to say, know how you're going to respond. So you can have all sorts of plans that will really help you not, you know, sometimes you need a playbook. I think another thing is that even in non-difficult situations, one of the biggest problems with the holidays is that we already have lives. We already have schedules. We already have 1,000 things to do. Now what we're going to do is squeeze into that time all of this stuff. And what happens is everybody's overstressed, everybody's overhassled, and holidays are supposed to be a time where deep connection and meaning and expression of the things that are really important to you finds a time and a place and words and space. And if you don't make that, then it's not going to happen. And the worst thing is to end up on the other side of the holidays and feel like, oh, that was horrible. You know, we didn't have time. I wanted to see so-and-so. I wanted to talk to so-and-so. We didn't really get. And so get ahead of that and have a vision for, you know, December 26th or January 2nd. What do I want? I sit down in my chair, my easy chair, and put my feet up and reminisce over the last couple of weeks. What do I want to look back on? Well, if you want to look back on something, generally you have to look ahead of something and plan to make that happen and really guard time and energy. Time and energy are the big deals in the holidays. Mm-hmm. And you got to prune some things if it's going to go well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What is it to stop and have intentionality
yes.
ahead of time and say, okay, what do I know? What can I expect, and how can I plan for this
yes.
to go as well as possible? And maybe what do I need to take off of my calendar?
For sure.
What can I pull away from for there to be breathing space? Because, I mean, I totally relate to that. Whenever there's greater stress or pressure, like, that's just, it's that much harder to kind of be okay. And, you know, I do think planning is so critical. I think of our youngest behaviorally, we were aware he was having a rough day. We thought it might continue the next day. So my husband and I, that night, we brainstormed. We're going into Saturday. It's all day at home with the kids. How are we going to play this well? And it was, okay, we're going to divide and conquer with the kids. I think it will go better to not have everybody all together. And that planning went a long way. So I think planning can be very helpful.
And a great thing to do is to sit down and ask everybody the same question. You know, what do you expect over the holidays?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah. What do you want? What's meaningful to you? We don't know sometimes that there's this one little thing that the holidays hang on for somebody. You know, if we don't sit down in front of the tree and open presents at the same time, you know, or whatever it could be, all the way down to the dessert that we have every year. You just have to know what's meaningful to you and how can we try to meet that expectation or find out what's meaningful to you that we're not going to be able to meet. Let's talk about that. And when we do that, that's really, it clears up a lot of noise. And another thing is, and especially we're talking to some alums who are just beginning families, traditions are very important. They form such a glue, they form such an anchor, they form a space in which we invest ourselves and all go stand on the same little island for a moment, and that, you know, that's a symbol of much deeper things in the family. And so it's important to define your traditions and how are we going to do those? And maybe we have too many. And what are we trying to get out of that? And what does it mean? And then sometimes another source of conflict is when couples bring different traditions from their own families of origin. And, well, my family does it too. Well, you know, and you have to talk about those.
Yep, yep. I love that idea of asking people what they want or what would it look like for them for this time to be meaningful. And I'm thinking this could be done when you're in person with people over the holidays or even if you're managing FaceTime calls from a distance to have that conversation as well.
Have a group Zoom relationship. Call
yes.
a month before. We're all together. What does everybody want to do?
I love that. That's
great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, plan it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I even think too, so from my perspective, I'm the oldest in the family. I recently graduated college, but, you know, now my brother's in college and my sister's still in middle school, and there's just so many, you know, conflicting lifestyles. And, yeah, I still kind of approach the holidays from a sense of this is my time to rest. This is my time to just not be bothered. And I've seen how sometimes that might affect my little sister who, like, wants to spend time with me. And I know my brother's probably entering that time of his life where he also just wants to rest because he's just getting out of finals. So I'm going to take that to my family this year, you know, really setting the expectations because we all have so many different lifestyles and eras of our younger years.
Wouldn't a family Zoom meeting a month before?
Yes.
Let's talk about the holidays. What do you want to do? One of the things that when our kids were at home, we would always have family meetings. And I like a path to think about this. It's just like it'd be like you run a business. You know, I hear from a lot of CEOs, oh, you know, I kill it at work. Everybody loves me, and we're performing well, and I feel like a superstar. And I go home and feel like such a loser, and I don't know what to do there. I go, dude, why don't you do what you do at work? And he says, what do you mean? I said, what do? You start with a vision. You know, what do we want this to look like? Where are we going? What do we want the result to be? What's the next thing you do after you have your vision? He said, well, I'll bring my team together. Exactly. You bring the talent to the table and say, if this is our vision, what's everybody's role going to be in making that happen? Well, I'll do the meals. I'll do this. I'll do the shopping, you know, whatever it is. And so have everybody contribute and know what we're expecting from each other. And then you have a plan, a strategy. Who's going to do what when? Then you have some way of keeping track of that, and you fix stuff along the way according to the plan, and you'll do great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it is interesting how sometimes we don't bring the same intentionality to relationships that we bring intentionality to other areas of our lives, and relationships matter so much. It's where life satisfaction is found, and so it's kind of like, of course, we have to bring that level of intentionality to relationships.
Yeah, and one more thing I'll interject here, because you see it a lot in young marrieds where both in-laws, they want them for the holidays. So it's very important to sit down and say to both sides, you know, there's this one pie of time that has several stakeholders. And every stakeholder's got to get fed out of this pie. I got some work that's got to be done over the holiday time. I've got my marriage that's got to eat from that pie. I got, you know, maybe got a young kid or two. And you know, we've got to be fed from there. You guys have got to be fed from there. And my spouse's family of origin's got to be fed from there. So I got to talk about kind of how big the piece of the pie that you're going to get is going to be, and what we can expect. Because, you know, both sets of in-laws a lot of times aren't thinking rationally that they're dividing the holidays up with so many stakeholders. And they can't have the whole thing. And they can't govern when everything is going to happen. This, you know, it's not like it used to be.
Okay. Maybe our final question. Here. So let's pretend we've planned as well as we can. We've thought through dynamics of what we want. We've connected with other family ahead of time, and we're in the moment. The holidays are happening. We're at a gathering, and let's say we find ourselves really connected to pain in the relationship or hurt or loss. Mm-hmm. What do you think it looks like?
You mean when it emerges and you're not expecting it?
Right. It's kind of...
It's a season of that.
I don't know. I'm thinking something in between. Like it could be a season of that. Mm-hmm. It could be kind of coming up in the moment, expected or unexpected.
Mm-hmm. And it happens.
But whatever kind of the dynamic, you're there, you're present. And maybe it was something small that tweaked you in a certain way and you're feeling just the pain or the loss or the disconnect or strain in a relationship. What do you think it looks like? I don't know, to move forward with Christ or to be present to the truth and the goodness of Christmas, but also present to your heart with what is actually going on in the relationship at that moment.
Yeah. Well, it's really important, especially if somebody's got that, you know, possibility of happening. The scriptures always call us, first of all, to self-control. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when those moments happen, it overwhelms your capacity for self-control. You can't regulate your emotions at that moment. You might say something, you know, you shouldn't say, or not say something you should say. And so if there are those potentials, you know, that you're carrying around, I think it'd be really good for each person to think about. So if and when I get, you know, that button pushed, what am I going to do? And we really kind of ought to have about 80% at least awareness of what those potentialities are. You're probably not going to 100% get blindsided. You know, if that particular parent or grandparent or sibling has always been critical or has always been judgment, don't get surprised and act like it's the first time. Right. So if you live in Seattle, bring an umbrella, right? It right. could rain,
right?
Right. So just prepare yourself before you get into it. Then once you do find, and if it's unexpected or whatever, then just remember, and I'm, you know, this isn't my first rodeo in working with families. I've never seen a major family conflict resolved at Christmas dinner.
Really?
I've just never seen that happen. So you need a couple of good good scripts in your head to say, you know what, I think this probably isn't the place to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is the place to talk about that. But we need to. So let's put it in the parking lot, and we'll come back and revisit that, you know, tomorrow or next week or something. But I don't think this is time and the place. You can do that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, we are talking about some somewhat extreme situations here. Somebody's got to step in and be the traffic cop. If there's bad behavior, then what the scriptures always call us to do is to not enable that. You know, Paul says, be angry, but in your anger don't sin. Oh. So it's going to bug you. You're going to feel it. And it's very important that you feel what you feel, like you said, not only to honor your own emotions, but also so your prefrontal cortex works. You know, as soon as you internally name an emotion, you've gained about some percentage of mastery over it. So be aware of how you're feeling, and in that awareness, then you can begin to have choices. So how do I want to handle how I'm feeling right now? Mm-hmm. And so you got to do that. But somebody has got to, at times, stand up and say, Joe, that's enough. Mm-hmm. Or can we talk and go into the other room? Don't allow these long-standing bad actors to have a moment, because it's not good for that moment, but it's also not good just in general.
So offering safety to the family.
You need to offer safety to the family, yeah. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to play that role. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we're talking about the really hard moments.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's also as important to think about how the scripture says, don't merely look out for your own interests, but also the interests of others, and holding the needs of others higher than your own. If everybody would go into the holidays and start with, you know, there's a, just go around the table or individually or whatever, say, what can I do to make this a great Christmas for you?
Right. And what care?
Yeah. And ask,
what care?
How? What role can I play? I want this to be a great holiday for you. What can I do? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so begin to do that individually, you know, and together. And then on your own, if you really want to do something cool, exceed somebody's expectations or do something that nobody's expecting you to do that really brings goodness. Nobody had, you got some prophecies that speak to it, but nobody had a clear picture of how awesome Jesus was going to be until he showed up and did it, right? And so exceed people's expectations.
I like that. And that's, you know, looking to bring good, looking to bring joy
to, bring good.
To others, offering them care.
Love covers a multitude of sins.
That can go a long way in changing the tone of your experience, too.
Don't return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good, scriptures say. And there's it really does take two people to have a conflict. Mm-hmm. So if somebody hits that tennis ball over the net, you don't have to hit it back. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, respond with empathy. Gosh, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yes.
But you don't have to get into it.
Yes. Dr. Aditi Meyer on our team, she talks about it, of setting down the rope for tug of war. Just put down the rope.
Put down the rope.
It's okay. And that image has stuck with me, and I feel like that's helpful.
I remember one it would have been January or so. When I was doing a lot of clinical work back then, and a woman came in, and she was really depressed. And I said, what's going on? And she said, well, I don't know. I just hadn't been feeling good after the holidays. And long story short, she flew back to the East Coast, and she was an adult. She had gone back to graduate school, and she was going to get her degree. And she went back home, and her mother was like, I don't know why. You're too old to be going back to school. You're never going to be able to get a job in that. And so she said, and she just crushed all my, you know, dreams. And I guess she's right. I mean, what am I, who am I thinking now I could do? And so it had all gone downhill. And I said, is this the same, how old are you? And she said, 40. And I said, is this the same mother you've had for 40 years? She said, yeah. I said, is this the first time she's ever done anything like that? She goes, oh, no. And she just goes into this litany of ever since I, you know. I said, okay, so let me ask you a question. I said, somebody's crazy here, but might not be her. Why would you share your most treasured treasure, what you're doing right now with your new dream? Why would you share that with the person that you know is going to trample it? Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give what is holy to dogs. They'll eat you up and all this kind of stuff. So why don't you choose who you're going to be vulnerable with and choose who you're going to share things that could get hurt with and use some discretion.
Okay. Are you talking about having good boundaries? Is that what I is that what I hear?
I heard something about that somewhere.
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, my final question, with the holidays coming up, on a positive note, what is your favorite holiday tradition? Same thing with you, Kelly, with your family.
Well, there's my, you know, my family now. Mm-hmm. Tori and I have two daughters, 23 and 25. And I think what the one that's become my favorite is when the girls were little, 1 year, this would have been, oh gosh, years ago, Tori and I are running around about December 15th and we're hassled and we're trying to get all this stuff done. And I looked at her and I said, are you having fun? She said, no, I'm stressed. I said, this is stupid. Why don't we just leave? She said, what do you mean? I said, let's just check out. We'll come back on the 23rd. We'll give the kids to somebody. And I think it's about the 17th. I said, let's go to New York City and watch everybody be stressed. Because there's nothing more relaxing than watching other people be stressed. So we unplugged and we went to New York and we saw the sights and all the wrappings in the windows and all this and just had the greatest time. And then came back and got the kids and had a great Christmas. Well, next year we said, we got to do that again. So we literally did it. That became our tradition until the girls got to be like, call it 10 or 12. And by then they're aware and they've watched movies with New York City. We want to go. We want to go. Here we go. So we started taking them. Aww. And we've done it every year since. And just wow. So we, as a family, we go to New York for a few days, maybe three or four, and hang out.
That's cool. Before Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Watch everybody be stressed.
Yeah. People watching. That's good.
I love it.
That's good.
How about you, Kelly?
Well, let's see. With our kids being young.
Go to New York.
Go to New York. Oh, my goodness.
Give them to the grandparents.
Atlanta, New York City. Let's go.
Yes, we need to do that. No, I think for me it's really simple things of decorating the Christmas tree together. This year our youngest will be old enough to participate versus we've done it during his nap time in the past. So it'll be fun to have all three doing that. And then going to church for Christmas Eve and hearing Christmas music together.
Yeah,
I just really appreciate. So, and then last year we started.
I see tears.
I do. I really do appreciate Christmas music on Christmas Eve. It's very special. And last year we started hiding a little baby Jesus figurine for the kids to find. So I think we'll continue that as the last gift of Christmas is going around and finding baby Jesus that is hidden somewhere.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, we're not going to let Alexa off.
Yes.
Well, I work at a church, so it's so tough to go home for the holidays because I'm a worship leader. But when I do get to go home, I'll go, like, I'll play my Christmas Eve service, and then I'll go home for a few days. But my favorite thing about the holidays is just being in the same room as my family. My family's on the East Coast, so they're in North Carolina, so it's hard to get home. But my favorite thing is literally just sitting on the couch, eating cereal, and watching Seinfeld with my dad.
What type of cereal?
Oh, literally just like cornflakes, like the most basic, or like Cheerios. I'm so basic. Okay. But it's just...
And which character does he most resemble?
My dad? Oh, gosh. I don't know if he resembles any of the characters, but we also kind of like to people watch the characters in Seinfeld because I feel like we're like, oh, they're such horrible people. Ha ha ha. we love Jerry Seinfeld and George. And yeah, I find myself, and now that I'm like in my 20s, I'm like, I am such an Elaine.
It's interesting when you listen to those three examples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do they all do? They all connect people together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what Christmas is about. It's about it connection.
It is.
Our connection with God and how he came at this time. He came and connected with us where we are. And that's what we have to do at Christmas. We have to meet people where they are and just figure that out and have the right expectations. But it's about connection. And then he started this new family where we, as a body, his body, we connect with each other.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm so excited for the holidays. I can't believe they're so close.
They are.
It's amazing. Well, thank you, Dr. Cloud, for joining us on the podcast.
Sure.
Our listeners are going to get so many good pieces of wisdom from this. Well, anyways, thank you for my listeners. Thank you for listening to the Pep Talk. And on behalf of Pepperdine University and the Boone Center for the Family, we wish you and your family a joyful, peaceful holiday season with boundaries.
Thank you so much, Henry.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.